You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. I am Daphne Walker, President and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. Our guest tonight on The Call to True Beauty, which is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University, is Tamika Daniel, guest supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services Program. And we are talking tonight on the issue of social media and domestic violence. And I want to remind you all, we are talking about social media. And so if you wish to send us a tweet, you can to hashtag TCTB. That is for The Call to True Beauty. You can send it to TCTB, hashtag TCTB on Twitter, or you can go to WCLK's Facebook page and also post anything you would like to with regards to the issue of social media and domestic violence. Tamika, what I want to talk a little bit about now is just the sheer issue of what cyberstalking is really like. And I know a lot of times we talked in the past couple of shows about people who get extensive text messages. You know, you get 100 text messages a day and people think that that means that you love them. But really, that means that that person may not be allowing you to have the freedom of being in that relationship in an appropriate way. But what can you tell them about just the issue of cyberstalking in Georgia and how we're addressing that issue?
That is a very serious issue that we are dealing with. Understanding that a lot of things that are spilling over onto our college campuses and onto our middle and high school campuses are being started on the instant messaging, Instagram, Facebook, and cyberstalking is a very serious deal. We've seen cases where we've had husbands or boyfriends that are placing devices on their partner's cell phones that will track their movements so that they know where they're going at all times. And in the age of cyberstalking, we need to alert people to the fact that it's probably not a good idea to use some of these functions that we have on these different websites. We're checking in everywhere we're going, letting everyone know what our every move is. And if I am a stalker and I want to get you, you're making it very easy because you're providing a roadmap on how I can find you. And so a lot of the cyberstalking or the cyberbullying is being perpetuated at some point based on some of the things that we're doing unwittingly often, not knowing that there are certain applications that can alert people that are listed as your friends to where you are. If you're in a particular area, you know, others can get a message that lets you know, hey, so-and-so is here, or Tamika just checked in at Lenox, and we need to really be mindful that some of our activities, we may need to change some of our processes in order to protect ourselves better.
And Tamika, we do have a call from Catherine in Atlanta. Catherine, good evening.
Good evening. And how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. My question is this: what is the actual Georgia legal stance about domestic violence? Because I am a victim of it, and when I defended myself, I wind up being charged as the aggressor, and I am still trying to get them to close the case. This has been almost 6 years ago.
Tamika, do you want to talk a little bit about what our standards are with regards to domestic violence in the state of Georgia?
Sure. First, let me say this, that one of the things that Georgia Legal Services prides ourselves on is partnering with other agencies to conduct law enforcement trainings throughout the state, where we bring in contracted trainers, usually someone who is prior law enforcement, that has a really good understanding of domestic violence issues. And we try to really focus on training to determine who the primary aggressor is in a situation. Now, Georgia Legal Services, we don't do any criminal work, but we do try to assist in this area, and that's something that in each investigation should be looked at, is determining who the primary aggressor is. With proper training, officers can determine based on marks that are visible on the parties. They're just different things that they can learn throughout their investigation to determine. Gone are the days when an officer can come into your home and say, well, I can't figure out, you know, who the primary aggressor is, so I'm going to arrest you, and you're both going to jail. Now, I say gone are the days. Does that still happen? I'm sure it does. sometimes it does still happen, but we are trying to move out of that zone so that officers get the proper training that they need to understand who the primary aggressor is, identify that person, and charge them rather than charging both parties or getting it wrong and actually charging the victim when the perpetrator just basically walks scot-free.
And what I will say, Catherine, is sometimes, you know, officers get it wrong. And so what, you know, I would encourage you to do if, in fact, you were not the primary aggressor and you're attempting to get that resolved is to keep pushing to get that resolved. Because the other thing that Georgia law has is if, in fact, that person has a history of DV as a misdemeanor and they commit a second act of family violence against that person or the same individual, it can be charged as a felony against that person. So it is really important if you do not believe you were the primary aggressor that you push as best you can to get that resolved. As, you know, Tamika indicated, she does not, you know, deal in the area of criminal cases, but you may want to consider contacting an attorney to do it. Because one of the things I heard you say is that you represented yourself. And I don't know that that's the best solution to this. You may want to consult an attorney to see if, in fact, they can be helpful to you with providing you some legal support and advice on what needs to take place to get that resolved. But
well, I appreciate it. Excuse me. I did have a lawyer. I had a public defender.
Okay. So,
but it still came out like that. But I will seek more advice and see this because this holds over my head. I'm a truck driver by trade, and it has closed some doors.
Okay.
But I'm going to still keep trying. And thank you for your advice and your time.
All right.
Y'all have a blessed evening, ladies.
What I want you to do, Catherine, if you will hold on the line, I'm going to have you talk to one of our counselors that's here. And because we do, and I don't know if the audience is aware of this, always have counselors in the studio here at WCLK to talk to anyone that's calling in to talk about what is a very sensitive topic, that is the issue of domestic violence. And so what I'm going to do is have you talk to one of our counselors to see if there might be some referrals or other resources we may be able to give to you. There may or may not be, but I want to at least give you the opportunity to speak with her to see if there's something that we can do to assist. Okay, so if you'll just hold on and someone will be with you shortly. You're here listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. It is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. If you would like to join our conversation tonight, we are discussing the issue of domestic violence and its intersection with the issue of social media. So if you would please give us a call, we greatly appreciate hearing from you. As we speak with Tamika Daniel, who is our guest tonight, she is the supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of the Georgia Legal Services Program. And we do now have on the line Frederick from Stone Mountain.
Yes, how you doing this evening?
Fine. How are you, Frederick?
I'm fine. As I was telling you, your producer at the very first of his and our conversation, I grew up in an alcoholic house. And everyone drank in the house but myself. And as a kid growing up, I couldn't understand a lot of things, particularly a lot of why my mother went through those issues of life and knowing she didn't have to do that. I ended up quitting high school when I was 16 years of age. I had various jobs. I worked for the city of Atlanta when I was 16, collecting trash. This is before they come up with the trucks dumping the trash where they pick up. I had to carry it on my shoulder going from house to house. But that's not the issue. My point is this, that what is not happening in the home is things that are being taught. A child is going to want to do and act on what they see. To me, children, particularly from the ages of 5, 6 on up, are like walking little video cameras. What they see is what they discuss and what they act on. The games that they're creating today are more violent. This is a very, very angry generation. See, like, and it's a copycat generation. Mainly because of the fact that some of it, they're not being taught mental illness exists. Because some people can't recognize mental illness. Because sometimes it doesn't show the type of face you would think.
Tamika, what do you have to say about his comments as it relates to the images that young people are seeing. And Frederick, I want to first thank you for sharing your story with us, because I know that it's not easy to talk about what you had to grow up in. And that was, as you indicated, an environment where alcoholism was a part of that home environment. You were the only person who wasn't drinking. You were trying to do what you could to not engage in that kind of conduct. But as you indicated, that's what you were seeing on a regular basis. And so you try to figure out, how do you get past that, or how do you get through it? Tamika, what can you say about that? I mean, is it really about, when we talk about these images in the media, he talked about the video games, he talked about a number of different things. Is it truly what people see is how they're going to respond? And is there some responsibility that we should have in making sure that those images are good images?
I think he is correct in saying that a lot of the things that these young people are doing, they are emulating what they see on television. Because violence has become so normal in our community, it's no big deal for students to respond as such, because he's right, the video games that they're playing are violent. They're watching violent videos. They're watching violent movies. Some of them are growing up in homes where violence is occurring. And I've had young people come up to me after one of my presentations and say, well, you know, I grew up in a home where my grandmother was abused, my mom was abused, my aunt was abused. I'm in a relationship, and I feel like if my boyfriend doesn't hit me, then he doesn't love me. And if this is their reality, because no one has stopped to correct them, again, going back to that healthy relationship conversation, and help them to understand that, no, that's not normal, then they begin to emulate what they have grown up seeing their entire lives. And so I think we have a responsibility, the media has a responsibility, to, if you have a storyline, for instance, on sexual assault or a domestic violence dispute, then at the end of that program, put some information on there that says, if you are in a situation such as this, or if you are a victim, these are the resources that are available to you. Call this number to get help. Because again, we start the conversation, and now that we've started the conversation, we want to follow up and take that next step and say, this does not have to be your reality, and here's a way out. Let me help you find that way out. Because that may be the first time that anyone has reached out to that specific individual to tell them that there is a better way.
Thanks. You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. I am Daphne Walker, President and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, speaking tonight with Tamika Daniel, Supervising Attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services Program, talking tonight on the issue of domestic violence and on the issue of how social media plays a part in what we're seeing in the domestic violence arena. If you would like to be a part of this conversation tonight, please give us a call at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. And Tamika, what I want to talk a little bit about, I know you were talking about cyber stalking and what we're doing to try to address that in the state of Georgia. And you talked about a lot of things that people could do to avoid placing themselves in a situation where someone could stalk them. And one of the things you talked about is being careful about what you post on Facebook or Twitter about your location. What advice can you give on people that you accept as your friends? Because I know definitely in my role, is my prior role as a judge and my current role as the president and CEO of PADV, I get a lot of people sending me friend requests who want to friend you on Facebook because they may have heard me on the air, they may have seen me in an event. And so how do you decide, you know, who do you want a friend and who you don't want a friend, and what kind of steps do you take to make sure that you can protect yourself in that cyber arena?
I think you have to be very careful in considering friend requests. I make a habit, whenever I give a presentation, I always say, please don't send me a friend request because I'm not going to accept it. And people kind of laugh, but I'm very serious about that. And I'm serious about that because I don't want anyone in my inner circle, if I don't actually know who you are. The trend for our young people these days is they are friending friends of their friends that they see because they like their picture, they think that they're attractive, and they want to talk with that person and possibly hook up. And so they're allowing people in their circles that they don't know anything about. They know that, okay, this guy knows my friend so-and-so, so now I'm going to accept him, and not understanding that that puts them in a lot of danger. We have young people that read profiles online, and they believe whatever this person says. If, you know, his profile says that he's a 20-year-old college student at the local college, not really knowing that behind that profile is a 42-year-old pedophile. But because our young people are so trusting of what's on the Internet, and they tend to believe whatever is printed on the Internet, then they certainly put themselves at greater danger. I talk to people about keeping your online identity secret. You don't have to list your real name, your full name, your address. You don't have to give your password to the person that you're dating. Just being smart about how you interact with people online and not sharing too much of your personal business, I think, is definitely a way to kind of help protect yourself from some of the pitfalls of social media.
And I know some other things that people do. They want to connect your cell phone address book to your social networking account, not realizing you're pulling all of that information not only for yourself but for other people into the social media network. And then also posting photographs. I don't think a lot of people realize that those photographs are what we call geotagged, which can identify the location of where you took the photograph, when you took it, where you are currently, those types of things. So being very careful about that. And also, to your point about sharing your password, making sure if you break off that relationship or something like that, that you go back. I tell people don't share the password in the first place, but if you have shared it, making sure that you go back to make adjustments to those passwords so that people won't follow you that way, because they'll tell you they know what's going on with you only because they've been following you by going into your account and looking at what's going on. The other thing that I want people to think about is applications and games, because I know how many times I get people send me requests saying, please play Family Feud, please play whatever. On Facebook or whatever, and you don't realize that by agreeing to play some of those applications or games, you're also agreeing to disclose your information. So just being very careful as it relates to that. We do want to point out that Facebook, as well as some of the other social media outlets, have put together a document that basically tells you what a survivor of domestic violence should do to protect their Facebook page. And that particular book can be found if you Google just Facebook privacy and safety. You can find tools on Facebook that they put into place by working with domestic violence agencies throughout the country to protect someone who wants to have a Facebook page but also wants to make sure that their perpetrator is not able to locate them. I want to thank Tamika Daniel. She is the supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services, for serving as our guest tonight on the Call to True Beauty. This was being brought to you by WCLK, Verizon Wireless, and the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, as well as Clark Atlanta University. So thank you, Tamika, for joining us tonight, and we greatly appreciate the feedback you've given us. We are going to take a couple of more calls before the end of the show, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity, Tamika, if there's anything else you would like to share before we sign off with you. I'll give you a chance to do that, but we thank you for being our guest tonight.
Thank you for having me. Domestic violence and teen dating violence are issues that are very near and dear to me. I spend primarily the majority of my job going around not only handling cases for victims of domestic violence, but going out and teaching on the subject and getting into the school systems. I would encourage you, if you have a young person and this topic is not being discussed at your local school, push the administration to get this brought into your school system. The more we educate young people and adults about the issues of domestic violence and dating violence, the better we are serving our community by arming them with the information that they need and letting them know that there is someone out there that can assist them.
Thank you so much. That is Tamika Daniel, supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services. You're listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. And we'll be back in a few moments with some more callers.
Last time. He won't hit you again. You're leaving right now. How many times have you come to that point, but you don't know where to go? So you stay. He's sorry he bought you something pretty, but this time you do know where to go. PADV, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, can offer you the essentials of life, food, clothing, shelter. If you need help, call 404-873-1766.
This message is made possible by Verizon Wireless and WCLK.